Your word or your wallet, Barack Obama. It is not just Friday, it's follow-up Friday, where we follow up on things that came up on the show briefly during the week, and we're going to follow up to start the hour on something from Wednesday's interview with Congressman Charles Rangel after Obama clinched the nomination, something that raises a question about campaign financing and ethics in the race for the White House. You may know that Obama has promised to participate in the public campaign financing system if his Republican opponent does, something that would limit the amount of money that he could spend. Now, he made this promise before he realized what a fundraising machine the Obama campaign would turn out to be, and before he knew that John McCain, whose fundraising prowess is limited, would be his opponent. But this wasn't just some off-the-cuff remark captured by YouTube. Here's what Obama wrote in a survey for the Midwest Democracy Network. He wrote, "Senator John McCain has already pledged to accept this fundraising pledge." This was back when nobody thought McCain would be the nominee. "If I am the Democratic nominee, I will aggressively pursue an agreement, with the Republican nominee to preserve a publicly financed general election," unquote. Well, Obama is now obviously the presumptive nominee, and John McCain has not opted out of the matching fund system. He's indicating he will try to stay in it and hold Obama to his word. So will Obama, who has outraised McCain, of course he's been a juggernaut of online fundraising, largely from small donors, keep that promise? On Wednesday, I ask Congressman Rangel if Obama should walk away from that pledge.
If it's believed by Democrats that keeping his word means he loses the election, there's no question in my mind that he should do what is necessary to make certain that he has enough funds to run a campaign and to win. And this has happened in the last elections with candidates who talked about public financing until they found out that they were at a complete disadvantage and they changed their position. So it would be awkward and perhaps a little embarrassing, but I don't think people should stick by just the principle if it means that he's way ahead in the election and he's going to lose it if it depends on contributions.
So victory is more important than his word?
I would think so. I think the American people want to win.
Victory is more important than his word? I would think so, said Charles Rangel here. With me to discuss the candidates' possibly shifting positions on public financing, to parse what they each actually promised, and to take a close look at the state of campaign finance reform are two guests, Michael Luo, political reporter for the New York Times, who's been covering the Money Beat since February, and Mary Boyle, director of communications for Common Cause, the lobby group that has long advocated campaign finance reform, including limited spending. Michael, welcome back to WNYC, and Mary, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
And let's open the phones and our comments page for listeners on this, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Obama supporters in particular, 212-433-WNYC, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Michael, I don't want to mislead people in any way or overstate what Obama ever promised or how. So what exactly did he promise?
Well, I think his campaign sometimes pushes back when we try to phrase our language when we talk about this and carefully when we write about it. But I think the campaign tries to push back when we say he pledged to do this. But I think it's actually fair to say that. I mean, he said this in this survey, and he had some public statements about it, and so when we write about it, and obviously every time we write about it, we can't go through every single nuance of all he said. We do say that he indicated that he would take this route.
And were you surprised to hear Rangel's unambiguous contrast between money and his word?
I worked on a story a week or two ago where we talked about the likely general election matchup between McCain and Obama, and one of the big themes in this was how interesting it was, because this is these were two guys who have this sort of reformist element as part of their reputations when it comes to money and politics, and yet they were being really tested and tempted given the demands of a presidential campaign. So it doesn't surprise me, because that's essentially the what we came out with in the story, which was that it's hard to be a reformer when you're trying to win.
Is it accurate as a point of political analysis to say that Obama made that pledge and offered that challenge to any Republican to stay in the public financing system with its spending limits if the Republican did, that he made it at a time when he thought it would be to his financial advantage to make that pledge?
Well,
or is
it
more ambiguous than that?
Well, it wasn't entirely clear. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't entirely clear. I don't know. I don't have off the top of my head exactly what he was raising at that point, but it wasn't the juggernaut. I mean, it's really been this year. I mean, he's been excelling at fundraising, obviously, but like the astronomical numbers of this year of January, February, March didn't come, and obviously until much later.
Yeah, and what was the date of that Midwest Democracy Network written statement that I quoted from? Do you know it?
I think it was sometime last year. I don't know. Maybe Mary knows it.
Yeah, I think it might have been early this year. Late last year, early this year. I mean, I think what should...
My producer is saying she thinks it was February 07, but any time in that range that we're talking about, if it was before Iowa, nobody thought McCain would be the nominee.
Right, right. If I think it was last year, so that would be... it would have been completely unclear at that point.
Mary, tell us Common Cause's position on this.
Well, I mean, as Michael rightly points out, both of these senators have campaign finance reform credentials. We have called on both of them kind of repeatedly to opt into the system. Ideally, we'd like to see it. That said, the presidential public finance system is broken, and it is understandable given the phenomenal success Senator Obama has had raising money from very small donors as to why he would not opt in. It's our view that, in an ideal world, we would want them both in there, but looking ahead, it's critical that whoever does end up in the White House, and both of them have committed to doing this already, work hard to fix the presidential public finance system, as well as support public funding for congressional campaigns. Senator Barack has done that, not Senator McCain.
Listeners, do you care about this? Obama supporters, do you care about this? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Kim in Ridgewood is on Charles Rangel's side, right, Kim?
Yeah, unfortunately I am.
Go ahead.
Well, I think it's unfortunate, but I think we have to be just as ruthless and everything this time around. It's just more important for us to win this time.
More important than?
Well, you know what? You're allowed to change your mind on things, though, aren't you?
Common Cause? Do you let people change their minds on things like this with a pass?
As I said, we have called... the system is broken. Or the way we pay for our political campaigns in this country is broken across the board. And we think that what we are seeing are candidates who are doing what they need to do to win, and it's the system that needs to be fixed. The onus can't be placed on the individual candidates each time these decisions come up. The system needs to be fixed to public financing.
Roger in Nyack agrees with Kim in Ridgewood, don't you, Roger?
Well, I do, yes. My basic feeling as an Obama supporter and as somebody who has given him money on the web is that it's more than a question of inflexible principle. If that sounds cynical, I'm sorry, but I don't mean it that way. Look at where Senator Obama's juggernaut of fundraising is coming from. Small donors like me who can give him a few dollars on the web. If McCain had unlimited financing available to him, we sure as hell know where that would come from, and it wouldn't be from small donors.
I'm really glad Right, Roger, I'm really glad you brought that up, and I'm going to go because the line isn't that good. But if no caller brought this up, I was going to, Mary. And the point that many Obama supporters do make is that because he has demonstrated that he can raise so much money from small donors and such an overwhelming percentage of his funding, you're both better positioned than I am to know exactly what that percentage is. But isn't it something like 90 percentage of his funds from small donors? Then the ethics question changes from what it might have been a year ago when nobody in the history of presidential politics ever raised that money from that much of their money from small donors. Michael?
It's actually, I have to go into my notes and try to get exactly what percentage it is that he raised from some small donations. But actually, it's a little bit of an untold story that Obama actually does have a very formidable high dollar network. That I think at some point I've looked at how much he's raised from contributions of $1,000 or more, and it's actually very close, if not greater, than what Hillary Clinton has raised in that whose operation obviously is known for its its affluent donor network and this vaunted bundler network. So it's actually he's distinguished himself. Obviously, the internet stuff has really powered him to these new heights this year. But his high dollar network is actually very substantial and very important too.
Mary, I don't know if you know the percentage number that he actually gets from small donations. Percentage of all his fundraising, but the argument that I was mentioning before, I mean, the reason that Common Cause exists is because you don't want politics to be swamped by wealthy individuals and wealthy corporate interests locking out the voices of ordinary Americans, correct?
Exactly. We don't want people buying access and influence to the White House, and that is the concern with high donor contributions in any race.
So if now there's
we
a...
We love to see people get excited about an election and, small donors, contributing. That is, very exciting. That's people being excited about the whole process.
So if he decides to stay in the public financing system, therefore limiting his spending, is he going to have to tell his small internet grassroots donors to stop? Don't give me money. I'm full.
Well, if he suddenly switched courses and said, yes, I'm going to accept the $85 million that I would get in public financing, yes, then he would have to stop raising all money. I mean, we would love to see a presidential public finance system that embraced small donors, that allowed a candidate like Obama to continue to reaching out to small donors and raising money from them, because that's the money that is not that we're not concerned about. That's people excited about politics. That's people wanting to participate in the process.
What kind of a system would that be?
Well, it would be there is a bill in Congress right now to revamp the presidential public finance system. It would be a bill that perhaps excluded, small donors that allowed a candidate to get their chunk of public money, but allowed them to continue to collect donations of, say, I'm just kind of pulling these numbers out of the air, of, under $50, allow them to keep collecting that money as an incentive for candidates to raise money from small donors.
Irina on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Irina.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, my comment was really more of an ethical comment. I mean, I think it's just a little bit embarrassing to see everybody backtrack on a very kind of clear statement. If you want to qualify it, but, it makes me question the true ethical position.
Are you an Obama supporter?
Well, I was originally a Hillary supporter, so I would love to see him give the extra money to Hillary to get her out of her debt. But, the point is, I don't think I would vote for McCain because of it, but I think it would make me question Obama's ethical position if he backtracked.
Irina, thank you. And Teresa in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Good. I have to say I agree very, very much with the woman from Common Cause, and I think that the issue is not just what each man will do, but the whole system. And the thing that really concerns me is if Obama agrees to do the public financing, we have no control over the outside 527 or 529 groups, whatever they're called, and what they will do. And that's very, very scary. And I know that that's a hard question to figure out how to control them. But until we have some answer to that, you know, it's they're sort of at the mercy of, you know, the very wealthy right-wing hate groups out there.
Well, from you know, right-wing hate groups like the Swift Boat veterans to left-wing groups like MoveOn.org,
exactly,
all these 527s.
Yeah, and in fact, because I actually have stopped giving money to Move On, basically because Obama asked me to.
Yeah.
You know, I have given him money, Move On had its place back when they first started, but I don't really want to give them money anymore because I just don't want to feed that system.
Teresa, thank you. Michael Lua from The Times, want to weigh in on this?
Move On, actually, these days, I think a lot of what they're putting up on the air is through their political action committee, which is actually, that's hard money, that's regulated money. The thing that we're talking about with so-called 527s or the bigger vehicle these days is a lot of times these are 501c4s, they're incorporated as nonprofit corporations. Those are unregulated donations, and that's why it's such an issue for people who care about this, the influence of money in politics. The thing that's actually interesting this time around, though, is I've been looking for these groups to see, like, for example, on the conservative side, who's going to pop up, and there actually hasn't been a major group that has emerged. What I'm hearing from donors who might give to these kind of groups is that they're afraid that McCain will call them out on it. And on the Democratic side, there was actually, and people forget that actually more money was spent on the Democratic side in 2004 for outside groups than conservative ones. On the Democratic side, there's a group, Progressive Media USA, that was going to be the major sort of media vehicle for outside money, and they basically folded up shop because they're founding they can't raise money in part because Obama has been indicating that people shouldn't give to it. There's also been some issue of people are waiting to see who ends up being the nominee, and that's resulted in people having difficulty raising money. But it's interesting. But the thing is, it doesn't take a lot of money. It's one or two people with some bucks to to put one of these ads that are very damaging out. Like Swift Boat ads there wasn't actually that much money spent on it, but it just got so much circulation in the press and it ended up having this multiplier effect. And so it's not to say that these groups aren't going to be major players this time, but one thing that's interesting so far is we haven't really seen anybody emerge yet.
And, you know, money in politics is like a hydra-headed beast. And you wrote, Michael, a regulation here, a new method develops over there. Last election cycle, it was 527s. Now, Mary, McCain is dividing large donations between his campaign and the Republican National Committee. Mm-hmm. And I think also the state committees, which is actually the big loophole in the McCain-Feingold law. So there are new iterations in this fundraising cycle. And I've heard that McCain was also not maybe himself playing in the spirit of this with the way he raised money in the primaries.
Well, you're right about money always kind of, you know, finding another way in. I go back to what I said before, and it's we need a system. I mean, it's the same kind of debate around, you know, every election. Are they going to opt in? Is it a broken promise or not? Let's get a solid presidential public finance system in place where these candidates can run competitive primary elections and then run a general election and have enough money and get the money at the right times when they need it. And, you know, we would have a better situation.
And there is a development between Obama and the Democratic National Committee, where Obama is trying to get some other kind of influence out of politics. And I'm going to go to a caller to describe this a little bit. David in Manhattan, I know you called to talk about that, right?
Yes, I did. I mean, I have in front of me the text of a circular from the Democratic Party to, you know, to all members from Howard Dean saying, let's see, where are we? As of this morning, if you're a federal lobbyist or if you control political action committee donations, we won't be accepting your contribution. That's a measure that was inspired, that was demanded by Barack Obama yesterday. And as of today, it's the policy of the Democratic Party. And also remember, in the news last week, we heard about the big fundraiser being held by George Bush on behalf of John McCain, which John McCain tried to keep as quiet as possible.
That's right. Behind closed doors. So Michael, before you go, put that in context as you see it, that particular regulation pushed by Obama onto the Democratic Party and what it means and, you know, how it fits in with this campaign financing, public financing thing.
It was interesting. I mean, it was actually a question that I had. I wondered whether Obama is going to forbid this kind of stuff with the DNC once he became the nominee. Because actually the RNC actually had raised this issue because Obama had already set up a joint fundraising committee with the DNC, and this question came up. One thing that she pointed out is it's actually, I actually looked, and it's actually not a ton of money that comes from lobbyists to the DNC. It's kind of hard to match up. It's very laborious to match up federally registered lobbyists with DNC contributions. But it actually, I was surprised at the initial sort of poking around that I did that it wasn't actually that much money. But the other thing that she's pointing out is they're both trying to one up each other on this aspect of whether there's influence of how much influence lobbyists have on their campaigns. Obama has this rule on contributions, but remember, the spouses of lobbyists can give money. It doesn't forbid lobbyists who are not federally registered. There are a lot of lobbyists out there in Washington who aren't federally registered, who are involved in these lobbying companies, but they have people under them doing the direct day-to-day sort of influencing and interaction with lawmakers, so they don't have to register. So there are other ways around this. The McCain campaign has, after a lot of attention on lobbyists who are high up in his organization, came out with a really, really strict policy that forbids that if you're a federally registered lobbyist, you can't have a position or a surrogate position with the campaign, which is a very strict policy. And they kind of point out that they like to point out that Obama doesn't have this kind of policy in place, and there are some of his advisors who are lobbyists. So they're both trying to whether or not the public cares about this kind of thing. It's very esoteric. I'm not clear.
Well, that remains to be seen. But I think it's fair to say we have two candidates who genuinely do care about campaign finance and nefarious influences on the political process in this country because of campaign financing, but also who both want to win. So we will see how this dance winds up. Michael Luo, political reporter for The New York Times, and Mary Boyle, director of communications for Common Cause. Thanks, both of you, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up, another follow-up Friday segment. Remember when we talked about Vespa scooters the other day? Well, this raised a lot of worthy questions from some of you, and it set us out in search of the ultimate green vehicle on two wheels or four. Stay with us.